Today's gospel is especially important in the book of Mark, as it is truly a turn in the narrative where Jesus addresses for the first time directly who he is and what it means to follow him. Namely, that he must undergo great sufferings and be rejected by the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And that to be his followers, which everyone gets invited into, it's an open invite, they are to do two main things: to deny themselves and to take up their crosses and follow him. For those who want to save their lives will lose it. But really, what does this even mean? How can a person deny themselves? Well, when I think about this, when I consider what is essentially self-denial, what comes to mind right off the bat, and I'm not sure how you feel about this, but it's like that 9:30, 10, and I've had a bowl of ice cream, and usually butter pecan. I know that's weird. And I'm like, you know what? Just like one more bowl would be great. But I'm like a little lactose intolerant, and I just I know I shouldn't. So I therefore deny myself. Now clearly that's not what Jesus is talking about. But frankly, I wasn't really sure when Jesus says deny themselves what he meant. But Matthew Skinner, who's a professor of New Testament at Luther Seminary, has some good ideas about this. And he says that self-denial is not primarily about squashing our desires or delaying gratification, like I was talking about with the ice cream situation. Which I understand to be that self-denial is not about asceticism. Rather, Jesus calls us to separate ourselves from what defines us. A person in Jesus' culture was defined by those to whom he belonged, usually household or kin. Jesus calls people to embrace new understandings of identity. Self-denial is not self-annihilation, but complete redefinition. Self-denial does not mean seeking or embracing abuse for its own sake. I think this is really an important point. As if suffering itself is redemptive or a mark of virtue. Remember that Jesus has spent 7 chapters alleviating needless suffering or oppression whenever he encounters it. How could he be endorsing these things here? So, Skinner says, do not allow this text to perpetuate or excuse victimization. The kind of suffering Jesus acknowledges as a reality in this passage is a particular kind. It is persecution resulting from following him. Self-denial and redefinition come with their risks. Likewise, cross-bearing means more than just patience or obedience. It means death. It means the resignation of one's reputation and life. When I consider someone who experienced complete redefinition, someone who resigned their reputation and their life to Christ, I think of Giovanni Di Pietro Di Bernardone, which I had to take a whole semester of Italian to say that. Right. Yes, so you probably know Giovanni as St. Francis of Assisi, who was born in October of 1182, which was 839 years ago. And he was a prosperous silk merchant's son. His mother, Pica, was French, and his father took to calling him Francesco, meaning free man or Frenchman, which is why we call him St. Francis and not St. Giovanni. Though Francis was a wealthy kid, he was born with a generous and gentle heart. There's this classic story of him repeatedly getting in trouble with his father because he keeps giving his allowance to the poor in Assisi. He just felt called to. But his dad was not having it and worked very hard to change this behavior. And by the time Francis was an adult, he was witty and handsome and well-dressed, and he wanted to be a military hero. He wanted to be a winner. So he went to war against the neighboring state of Perugia and was captured for a year and then got very sick. And during his illness, he reevaluated his life. He spent a lot of time reading the Bible. And like our saint from 2 weeks ago that I talked about, Sister Mary Alacoque, he too had mystical visions of Christ. His happened in this little tiny country chapel called San Damiano. It's outside of Assisi. You have to come down a big hill because Assisi's kind of up on this big mount. And there's this little chapel. And in this tiny rundown chapel, Francis is praying and the icon of Christ crucified comes to life and begins to move and to speak to him. And it said, and Christ in this vision says, "Francis, Francis, go and repair my house, which as you can see is falling into ruins." So Francis takes this literally and starts rebuilding the little church where he's had this vision. And in order to do this, he's using his father's money, kind of secretly, just, you know, he's working with another priest. The priest is feeling guilty about it. It's a whole thing. And his dad, of course, when he finds out about this, because it's a small community, right? He's infuriated. He's totally upset that his son is acting so weird. And so he tries to intervene and stop him and basically threatens to cut him off from his wealth and his status. And this is where the self-denial or complete redefinition comes in, because Francis responds by going out into the public square and stripping down completely naked in front of the whole town and renouncing his father's wealth and inheritance. Francis announces to basically his whole world that he no longer belongs to his father, that he now belongs to God in Christ Jesus. And he vows to serve the poor, and guess what? He actually does. And that's why there was a little statue of him in my grandparents' garden growing up, because he ended up becoming one of the most venerated religious figures in all of Christian history. Somehow, in the great transformative work of God, this spoiled silk merchant's son becomes synonymous with caring for the poor. He becomes synonymous, this pompous rich kid becomes synonymous with humility, with kindness and gentleness, and with self-denial. And I think I'm going to go on a limb and I'm going to say that this is the kind of self-denial that Jesus is talking about in today's gospel, not eating a second bowl of ice cream. I think this is the kind of self-denial Jesus is talking about. And it is a complete redefinition of Francis's person, and it costs him dearly. It was not easy. It was not free. He had to give up his comfort. He was literally sleeping, like, in the woods with the animals. This is how it kind of becomes the patron saint of animals. He's spending so much time outside. He gives up his wealth. He gives up his physical safety and all of the privileges of being a silk merchant's son. But he's transformed from someone who wanted to be a big hero and go out and kill people into someone who was so deeply committed to peace that he risked his own life going to Egypt to try to convince a sultan, and this is historically documented, to end the bloody conflict of a crusade. His self-denial transformed him from a self-indulgent, self-important, partying troubadour into a selfless servant of the most poor, the most marginalized, the most outcast. The death of his cultural, familial, political identity as the wealthy merchant heir actually brought him much closer to how he was as a child. Gentle and caring and deeply generous towards the materially poor, who in turn he became much more like. Francis's own redefinition would end up inspiring many others to do the same, and he would end up becoming, his way of being would end up becoming a whole worldwide movement. But first he had to deny himself. He had to let that false person who he had become die so that he could be reborn and live into the fullness that Christ is promising. And this is what we're called to do too. We too are called to this kind of self-denial, this kind of complete redefinition of who we are. And I think if we were to do this, to be completely redefined by Christ, to lose and let die the precious, illusory, safe lives we have carefully cultivated in exchange for the real deal, the real raw life that God offers, the kind of delicious and dangerous and free life that Francis lived, then we, as a community, and the world, would dramatically change for the better. And we would experience freedom. Freedom from fear. Freedom from needing to be perfect. From needing to be right. Freedom from self-defensiveness. Freedom from anxiety. Now please hear me clearly. I am not saying we all need to march out of this church and go out onto the main street and strip off our clothes and denounce our fathers. That would be absurd. Clearly, none of us gathered here are wealthy silk merchant's sons living in the culture Francis lived in. But we are called to our own forms of self-denial. We all have our own crosses to bear. It seems that our God is very much into diversity and difference. We can see that just by looking out at the vast diversity of life on this planet. How many different animals and plants. I mean, it's just like God is super into difference, right? So we are not called to be exactly like St. Francis, who, I will remind you, was still very human, and who struggled with harmful ascetic tendencies his whole life to fight this dramatic redefinition. It was not a one and done for him. He always had to keep turning towards God, becoming who God calls us to be rather than who we are. Sorry. Becoming who God calls us to be, rather than who our parents, our culture, our society tells us we are, is a process. And this process is unique and different for every person. Starting this process of self-denial, of redefinition, is like stepping away from a script, which I'm not actually going to do right now. It's just an illustration. I've actually been in this process for the last 2 years, this process of self-denial. It started happening around the time that my son Leander was born, because there was something about him being born that brought up my whole childhood. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, I see some nods out there. There's something about having a child that brings up your own childhood. And for the first time, I really started to reflect on who I was and how I had become such a hardened person. I was starting to get really overwhelmed, and I was snapping in anger and lashing out. And I started to really reflect on, like, where did this come from? How did I get this way, where I'm so self-protected? When I've become so hard and sharp, there's a violence in me, I began to realize. And I began to wonder where that came from, and I returned to my childhood, and I actually had a conversation with my sister, who I didn't really want to talk to, because she remembers all the things that I want to forget or never want to remember. And she said, "Dane, when you were a little boy, you were the most beautiful little boy. You had the biggest, kindest heart. And you were so sweet and artistic." And I watched as our father beat that out of you. I watched him bully you because he was afraid. He was afraid that you were going to get hurt. And so he decided to take it upon himself to make you hard, to make you sharp, to make you something other than what God intended you to be. He just thought you were too effeminate, too weak. And he did a lot of damage to you, and I tried to stop him, but I could not stop him, and I'm so sorry. That person makes me think of when you have a piece of metal, right, that's dull, and you can heat it up. You can get it real hot under pressure, and then you can pound it and pound it and pound it and pound it until it gets really, really sharp. And that is what I became. That is what I was. And I confused my identity with this thing that my father and the toxically masculine, violent culture that I was brought up in created me to be, and that I needed to be, honestly, to survive in the violent and chaotic home that I was in. And I confused that self with what I really am, with who I really am. And Jesus calls us out of that. He called me out of that. And so when he talks about bearing the cross, when he talks about self-denial, that is the self that I am denying. I am denying the invulnerable, hard, sharp, violent self that I was acculturated to be. And I am having to then feel the pain of what happened to me. I'm then having to really see all of the ways in which I've been fractured and harmed. I'm having to bear witness to this boy who was broken. He was broken, okay? But God is like gold. God can take broken things. Have you guys heard of kintsugi? You guys know what this is? Okay, it's this beautiful Japanese art. They take pottery that's broken and they put it back together with gold. And it's even more beautiful than it was before. And that's what the process, this process of redefinition is like. It's like letting that hard, false self fall away. It's an old snake skin. It's gone. Let it go. Let it die. And then taking the pieces of what's left of you after that, after whatever's happened, and letting them be brought back together with gold. The resurrected Christ still has all his wounds. It's not about being perfect. It's about being alive. It's about being free. As Jesus says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. May we be ourselves and deny the false selves that we are acculturated to be. May we be completely defined by Christ. May we take up our crosses and follow him. And may we lose our lives so that our lives might be saved. My life has been saved. In Christ Jesus. Amen.